for the most entertaining talk anywhere. Stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Hello?
Yes, can I speak with Tom Maid?
Who's calling?
Well, this is Mike with... You've been selected to receive a complete digital satellite system for free. With this, you're going to...
Let me ask you something. Did you know Tom Maid? Were you a friend of his?
No, I'm not. I'm just calling to...
Hold that thought. Hold on 1 second, all right? Hey, guys, get really good pictures of the body. Yeah, and dust everything down for prints. Mike, you there?
Yeah.
Let me bring you up to speed. You've actually called a murder scene. Mr. Mabe is no longer with us. I'm Officer Clark. I'm conducting a homicide investigation. I want to ask you a series of questions. First of all, what was the nature of the business you had with Tom Mabe?
I had no business with him. I'm sorry to bother you.
No, hey, hold on. Look, I want to ask you to stay on the phone. This call's already been traced, and we may need you to come in for further questioning.
You don't understand. I'm just calling.
No, look, you don't understand. I just want to be charged with obstruction of justice. It's imperative you keep your ass on the phone, Mike.
Well, how about you just talk with my supervisor then?
No, look, we'll get your supervisor in a second here. First of all, give me your whereabouts.
I'm at work.
You're at work?
Yes.
You being a smartass?
No, sir.
Let me put it to you this way, Mike. Say I want to mail your ass a letter. What would I have to write on the outside of that envelope to ensure the mailman would deliver it right to your ass? Geographically speaking, Mike, where is work?
40 West Littleton, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Now, hold on. That's cool.
Yes, sir.
Mike, hold on 1 second, all right?
Yes, sir.
Get the Littleton Police Department Homicide Division on the phone. Give him this information. They tell him he's being a sock connection with a fatal shooting and aggravated robbery. But how did you know Mr. Mabe again?
Wait, you're calling the Littleton Police Department? I'm hundreds of miles away. I don't even know the guy. I'm in Colorado.
Don't let that scare you. That's just a formality. Have you reported his place of residence?
No.
Tell me again, where were you last night between the hours of 8 and 10?
I'm not feeling real comfortable by any of this.
Have you even ever spoken with Mr. Mabe, Mike?
No, I haven't. I don't even know the guy. That's what I've been trying to tell
you. Okay, just calm down. Calm down. Hold on. Look, just back up. I got one more question for you, Mike. As you well know, I'm sure, Mr. Mabe was a flaming homosexual. There's no easy way of asking that. I don't want to embarrass you or nothing, but were you his gay lover?
What? No. What the hell kind of a question?
Look. If gay's your way, that's okay. I still know there's a lot of you gay people in that closet. But then I haven't thought about myself. You know? Say I was in Las Vegas or something, by a couple drinks. Cute little Mexican midget. Sam Brown.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
It's coming the day before Friday the 13th. It's... Thursday, the 12th.
Oh, my God.
What?
What's going on? Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing?
The day before the scariest day of the year.
No!
Thursday, the 12th. Rated R for relax. It's just another day.
RSC, the Radio Shopping Club.
And welcome back to the Radio Shopping Club. I'm your host, David. Valentine's Day, almost here. And, you know, these tough economic times can make it pretty tough in the old romance department, huh? Am I right?
Yeah.
Of course I am. Well, RSC is here to help. We are introducing this, the RSC Valentine's Day Stimulus Package, huh? Look at this attractive heart-shaped box. Just open up here for you. Now, just like a financial stimulus pumps up the economy, our Valentine's Day stimulus pumps up something else, and I know that you know what I mean. Speaking of which, now, look, here's some kind of, what is this, a pump thingy? Yeah, some lotions, some oils, restraints, little blue pills. Ooh, wow. I don't even know what that thing is or where it goes, and I really don't want to know either. I'll leave that up to you, okay? But I do know it will stimulate something. Now, that's the RSC Valentine's Day Stimulus Package. Call now and prevent your love life from slipping into a depression.
RSC, the radio shopping club.
Scientists teach a drug-addicted bee to perform oral sex for cocaine. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Clinical psychologists at Harvard University have successfully trained a strung-out bee to perform oral sex for a tiny baggie of cocaine. Dr. Carl Schrader told reporters today that while his team enjoyed early success teaching rabbits and mice to perform degrading sexual acts in exchange for narcotics, they were unsure if their behavioral experiment would work on bees.
The bee is a surprisingly proud creature, but eventually they all broke down.
Schrader's department will soon produce a graphic documentary of their achievement under the title Honeycomb Nights. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner. You waited in line for hours among hundreds of other contestants just for a shot to appear on national television wearing a cape around your shoulders and with a song in your heart.
Kelly Clarkson never wore a cape.
Then, Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner, you get your big chance in front of the judges and proceed to croon out a bizarre love ballad for Paula that you wrote yourself.
Quick, someone call security.
Come on, did you really think you'd woo her?
Even Paula's not that drunk, yeah.
So the next time you're watching Idol and see a chubby guy with an extra chromosome, a skinny kid with crazy eyes, or any man wearing a costume, don't touch the remote, but get ready for Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner, a real American hero.
Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner.
Well, at least your grandma thinks you're talented.
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to a very energized Tuesday morning. Today is February, what, 10th?
Yes, I think so.
Today is February 10th, and good morning to you, Susie.
Good morning, darling.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah? You look all bundled up.
It's fucking cold out, man.
A scarf. It's freezing.
I actually got out of bed this morning, and I was like, you know what? I'm not even coming in this morning. It's so freaking cold. I'm not even going to bother.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
But I decided to anyway.
Yeah?
Yes.
Awesome. So, we're going to have a fun-filled show, okay? And we're gonna have a few people coming in.
Yes, yes.
We're going to have one that's aiming to replace you. No,
uh-oh.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You can't replace me with a shemale.
No. That's the second one. Okay, we're gonna have a shemale here, and we talked about that. So that's gonna be kind of exciting.
Yes,
and we've
yes.
got an author and everything. So it's gonna be a fun filled show. And what are you taking? Any vitamins this morning?
Oh, okay. Vitamin A for Adderall.
Why, are you like all over the place this morning?
No, it'll help energize me a little bit. I don't know. I got stoned and went to a movie last night.
Really?
After my date.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So you're into movies now?
Yeah, I'm actually really starting to get into movies. It's
nice.
Really fun to just get stoned and go to a movie.
Yeah? What movie did you go to?
Last night I went to Gran Torino. The Clint Eastwood
movie. Oh, the
movie.
Clint Eastwood?
Yes.
And how was it?
Oh, my gosh. It was horrifyingly miserable and sad and depressing.
Really?
And just, yes.
What was it about?
Basically, I think it takes place in Michigan, but I could be wrong. But Clint Eastwood is like this miserable old grumpy man who was in the Korean War and things like that. Was it Korean War or Vietnam? I don't remember one of those two.
Yeah.
Shit.
To you, it's both history.
Whatever, it's the same. But so he had a group of Asian people living next to him, and his wife died, and like his wife was like the only thing left in his life. And basically he would like call the guys gooks and like be like, you know, oh, I'm going to shoot you in the head. Get off my lawn.
Really?
And like hated these people. But
that's Vietnam.
Vietnam.
Yeah,
okay.
Vietnam War.
But I swear he had like a medal from the Korean War. I don't know.
Well, maybe he had been in the Korean War and then he was again in the Vietnam War.
Yeah, I think,
right?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. But he was just so like racist against these people, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was a lot of gang violence in the neighborhood, and two of the family members that lived next door were almost, you know, one was trying to be indicted into the gang and tried to steal Clint Eastwood's Gran Torino, which is this old car he had.
Yeah, the cars. That's why I was wondering why they called it that. That's like a car from the 70s or something, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, Clint Eastwood's character just pretty much tries to save the family from the gang violence and everything like that. And it's just about sacrifice and love and God and... I don't know. It was pretty moving. I'm kind of getting chills all over again. I was bawling my eyes out.
Really?
I was freaking sitting there. I wanted to put my sunglasses on, but it was only two people in the movie theater, my friend Josh and me. So
yeah, because it's been around for a while. It's been out for a while. So there's probably no people watching.
And it's so freaking depressing that I don't think, oh my gosh. I mean, it's not something I can probably sit through again.
Yeah.
But so I have to tell you really quickly about my date.
Yes. So you went on a date to the movies. Oh.
No, before the movies.
Oh, before the movies you went on a date.
I had a dinner date before the movies.
With someone else?
Yes.
Okay, so you went out with two separate guys yesterday.
Yes, but one was just my friend Josh.
Right, okay.
The other guy was the hot guy I met on the bike ride Saturday night.
Yes.
Who was fascinated with me and wanted to know more. I get a phone call from him and he's like, he's really quiet and shy and he's like, Susie, I really just wanted to get to know you a little bit better. Do you think I could take you out to eat? And I was like, hell yeah.
All these guys you're meeting lately are shy, you know?
I
mean, what is it? You're like looking for the total... Well, I guess Franz was kind of... Well, I don't know if he was shy, but he was kind of reserved.
Introverted.
Yes.
But so I go out to have... you know, an early dinner with this guy, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I'll have a margarita. It's like 4:30 in the afternoon, because we were supposed to do a late lunch, early dinner.
Uh-huh.
But so, he's like, okay, I'll have what you're having. Then he tells me he's never had a margarita before.
Really?
And he's never been drunk before.
Wow.
And he's never done any drugs before. And I was like, wait. I was like, what are you, Mormon? And
you found the wrong element.
And he was like, actually, yes, I am Mormon. And so I was like, whoa, dude.
So you asked him about the magic underwear?
Yeah. No. What? Oh, shoot. What magic underwear?
You forgot all about it?
Yes. Tell me again.
Wait a minute. Weren't you the one who brought it up?
No. Someone else brought it up.
Yeah. Well, apparently Mormons have a magic underwear that they wear. And it's supposed to, I don't know, do what for you.
Really?
But yeah, it's a sacred thing.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
That gives me more things to talk. Oh my gosh!
There you
I'm gonna
go.
Have to ask him about this.
Yeah,
but yes. So I definitely was as fascinated with him as he was with me last night. And I got him to like. I'm like, all right, now we're gonna go get a bottle of wine. And I get to his house with a bottle of wine, and I was like, wait a minute. I was like, you probably don't have a wine opener, do you? And he was like, no. I was like, oh my god! I was like, wow.
Yeah. Don't you have one in your car?
I do, but since I've been trying to like sell my car, I cleaned everything out of my
car.
Oh,
okay.
So everything was kind of, you know, elsewhere.
Yeah.
But no, he actually was a really, really sweet guy and really, really fascinating. And we just talked for like hours.
Nice.
And I got him like sucking down wine. He's like, this is pretty good. I'm like,
really?
I know.
So, did he get a buzz? Did he get drunk?
Well, he was dancing a bit when he walked me out to my car.
Yeah.
Dancing in the street in Westwood.
Even if he never sees you again, you destroyed him for good.
No. I'll see him again. I lent him one of my books that I had that I wanted him to read. And also, I'll see him on bike rides and things like that. But I don't know. He was a really cool guy.
Yeah.
So, but I was just horrified. I was like, Mormon? Oh, my God. I was like, I'm the devil. I'm like, you don't know what you're doing with me. Run. Yeah.
Was he hoping for anything more?
I don't know.
Yeah. He didn't behave like he did. Huh?
He behaved like a perfect gentleman.
Really?
Opened doors,
very nice.
Paid for everything. And,
very nice.
Was just a wonderful, wonderful kid.
Good.
Yes.
Kid.
Well, he's my age. He's a kid. We're all kids until we're not.
I suppose you are.
I don't think of myself as an adult.
No?
Hell no.
No. Well, you don't behave as one, that's for sure.
Sure, I do.
Based on your decision making.
I do too. But last night I was trying to tell him about all these different drugs that I've done, and I was like, oh, you really need to do acid, and you should try this, and you should try that, and he's like,
Totally fucking corrupted.
Well, he said he didn't think he would try any of these things.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's cool. He shouldn't.
Why not?
You really shouldn't.
He asked like why I was so. He said he asked if I achieved like a higher level of enlightenment in life because I just seem so crazy and happy all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, you know.
Enlightenment.
I think I have reached a new level of enlightenment that other people have not reached. Why are you laughing?
It's funny. I mean, the choice of words there, you know.
No, I feel very enlightened about the world.
Do you?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, listen, our first guest is here, right?
Yes.
And they're waiting. So let's take a very quick break. We'll get him settled in, and we'll be back right after this.
There's something about the way you try to look. It's getting right to me, deeper than it really should. What are you, an angel, or just looking that good? When you take your time, you are so divine. I'm not surprised, I'd like to watch you in this light.
Open it.
It's a Vermont teddy bear.
No, it's a New Jersey teddy bear.
Huh?
Go ahead, squeeze it. It talks.
Hey, not for nothing, but happy Valentine's Day over here.
Aww.
A New Jersey teddy bear says, I love you, with attitude.
Hey, my love for you is undying. Well, kind of like that guy we whacked yesterday. I tell you, we must have had to stab him like 200 times.
I love you, too.
Send your message of love in a way that only a New Jersey teddy bear can.
If you so much as look at another guy, they're going to find your eyeballs gouged out by bear claws. You understand me?
That is so sweet.
Time to bury your old Vermont teddy bear in a shallow grave out by the airport and get your special gal a New Jersey teddy bear.
Hey, forget about it.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station.
It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
That Vermont teddy bear thing is so funny.
Isn't it hilarious?
I actually had one built for an ex-boyfriend of mine because he liked fishing, and so I made him a fishing bear.
Uh-huh.
But now that the relationship ended as badly as it did, I think I should have made him a New Jersey bear. Oh, God.
Well, Susie, we got the guest in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Sam and Susie.
Please introduce yourself.
My name is Hannah Louie, and I'm actually a mom of three kids.
Really?
Whoa.
Yes.
Wow. With that figure?
Oh, my gosh. I've been on the serious diet since September. Because my husband said, I think you need to lose some weight. And I was like, oh, damn. I better get on the treadmill. So
really?
So it worked. I have been busting my butt. Yeah, almost 20 pounds.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you look phenomenal.
Thank you.
Yeah, you should give some ideas to Susie. You
know? Asshole.
Oh, she's so cute. Look at her. Oh, my God.
She claims she's fat all the time.
No, she's cute.
Thank you.
Very cute.
Speak for yourself over there, Mr.
Really.
Belly.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you Santa.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
Ooh.
Just get that white beard on and you're all set.
Yeah. So, were you raised up here in L.A.?
Actually, no. I was born and raised in Tokyo, Japan.
Oh,
really?
But then from about the time I was 9, I moved to Kansas City, Missouri.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How do you get from Japan to Kansas City?
I know. Yeah. I was like, of all the crazy places in the world to live, my parents decided that instead of going to L.A., where all of the, you know, the Asians were moving at the time, that we would go to Kansas City because we had a friend there. And also they wanted us to grow up somewhere where it was, you know, very cold, like American. You get the whole American experience. You know, you get the Four Seasons, and which was great. But, you know, at the time, it was just really odd because we'd go to the supermarket and people would be like yelling at us, go back to Vietnam. And it's like,
oh, no.
Really? You know, and I was like 9 years old. I'm like, what? What's Vietnam? What's going on? We had a lot of that going
really?
On. Yeah. And now I'm like, man, I should have grew up in L.A. My parents picked the wrong place because we had, you know, we'd be digging in snow like as punishment. Instead of a timeout, we have to dig the snow off the driveway.
Really?
Oh, no.
So what? So you experienced a lot of racism and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, a lot.
Really?
A lot. It was not a good. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Yeah. Well, that's the South pretty much, right?
Well, no, it's really actually dead smack in the
Midwest.
Middle. Yeah, it's part of America.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I actually, when I was driving cross country to move from the East Coast to Los Angeles, I'm driving and does Missouri come first and then Kansas?
Yeah.
So I'm in like, I don't know, there's a Kansas City, Missouri and Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah.
And I forget which one I was in, but I was in the wrong one. I was like, what time is it here in Missouri? And everyone's like, you idiot, you're in Kansas. And I was like, oh shoot. Everyone in the gas station was dying
so
laughing at
funny.
Me. I'm like, what? I've been driving for a long time, people. Give me a break.
Yeah. How are you supposed to know?
And everything looks the same. Once you hit like the Missouri-Kansas area, everything's just flat and you have no idea where you are. Yeah, it's just terrible. And then once you get into Colorado, then you get the mountains and, you know, all the
beautifulness.
Yeah.
So are you from a large family?
I am. I've got four brothers and sisters.
Really?
So, yeah, we were just constantly fighting.
Really?
Always.
I thought Japanese people don't fight. I don't know.
Well, you know what? We just put on this sort of like, we're very quiet and shy and timid, but, you know, behind closed doors, like, you know, the claws are out.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We know how to, you know, fight when it's time.
I can't imagine. Yeah. We still remember World War II, right?
Hey, we're not that old.
You guys can fight.
Uh-oh, he went there.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I'll tell you what fascinates me about that is that, you know, this is some kind of a thing where, just like with Germany, you know, we were at war with them. I don't think there's really hatred. It was just war.
Right.
And so we were enemies with the Japanese and with the Germans and with the Italians. And then suddenly we're like best friends, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not about hatred, you know. It's just about military stuff or whatever.
Right.
But what still amazes me is that Japan thought that they could take over China.
I know.
You know, I mean, that's a little ambitious here.
I know. We still get a lot of crap about it.
Yeah. Japan is like a fly in China's ass, you know?
Oh, no.
You know, this little island, they try to take over a country of a billion people.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of history for Japan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, did you grow up? How old were you when you came out here?
Nine.
Almost nine.
Oh, nine.
Yeah.
Okay. So you didn't get a chance to learn any Japanese history and stuff like that?
Actually, I was a history major in college, so
right.
I kind of did comparative history.
Uh-huh.
So I know a lot about Japanese history.
Right. Yeah. But you didn't at the time when you were younger and stuff.
No. So I had no idea.
So you were like American as far as you were concerned,
pretty
right?
Pretty much. Yeah. But then my friends think it's so funny because when I go back to Japan, I get very Japanese. I'm very quiet and I'll, you know, take 3 steps behind a man, open doors for them, pour their tea, pour their drinks.
Wait,
you know,
women have to open doors for the men?
Yeah.
They still do that?
Yeah. I mean, well, the very Japanese people do.
Right.
And I kind of switch it. It's very strange because my friends are like, you're so westernized. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you live here. Yeah.
When in Rome, when in Japan.
Exactly.
There you go,
and they really appreciate it, you know. And so I like to please the men. And, you know, that's one way of doing things.
My kind
of
woman there, you know.
So that's what I do.
When I go back to New York, I turn into a raging psycho. A bitch as well. Well, you know,
you kind of have to, though. You know,
you don't want to be anywhere near me if I'm driving a car.
Yeah, God forbid,
God
forbid you're PMSing. Then it's like holy terror.
Do you get bad PMS, Susie?
No, not really.
Then you're fortunate.
I take good drugs for it.
There you go, and the truth comes out.
I'm even happier when I am PMSing. I'm just like, oh yeah. Give me some more of those.
So funny.
So that's cool. So at a certain point, you decided I'm leaving Kansas.
Yeah, well, you know, I graduated from high school, and my parents decided it's time to take the family back.
Yeah.
So we went back to Japan, and I graduated from my university there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you went to college there in Japan.
I did, and the funny thing is I could not read and write Japanese at all. To save my life, I couldn't even write my own name in Japanese characters.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And so
it really is difficult,
it's
right?
It's so hard, and like one little mark, and, you know, you got the whole thing wrong.
Really?
It's not just like the alphabet. You have over 2,000 to learn by the time you graduate sixth grade.
Wow. Yeah.
So even now, I could probably read like the gossip magazines, but mm-hmm. there's no way I could read the newspaper.
Okay, now I have a silly question. Well, two questions. How do Japanese people use a keyboard, like when they're typing?
Oh, you know, we actually, punch it in English,
okay,
like using syllables, and then we push like the tab key, and then it pops it into the character that we want.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah. So that's why a lot of people
have to know English.
Well, no, you just have to know the syllables, really. Like, if you're going to write the words, like, my name, Hana, you would put in H-A, pop the tab key or the space key, and then it would flip it to the character.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to scroll down to see which, because there's so many characters up for the word, you know, right. Ha.
That takes forever.
Yeah, it takes forever. But, you know, people who are really good are really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I can imagine. I mean, the, you know, just going from Japanese to English or back, the languages are so different.
It is very different.
You know, I mean, the structure even. It's not just words, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So the characters in Japanese, mm-hmm. are those like each character is a word? Then?
Right, exactly.
I see.
So my name, actually, if you write in character, it means to be blessed with beautifulness and gaiety. And so it's two different characters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and then each character has like different meanings as well.
Right.
So one could be like peace, but it also means to be flat. If you use it as a verb.
I guess that's related, right?
Yeah, so you know, there's all these different things. So it's in order to learn one character, you have to know like the four different ways of reading it, and, you know, or however many there might be. And then also know like when it changes to a name and you use it for a name, then it becomes something different as well.
Yeah.
So it is it is so hard.
Yeah. Is that what they call kanji?
Yeah, it's called kanji. Yeah.
Right?
Got it.
Yeah, that's because I've heard of that. I mean, I know that computers support that language, Susie, but
is that for like conjugate? It's like conjugating.
Yeah, it kind of is.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Well, it's
written totally different.
No, but it's true because you do have to flip it, like if it's used as a verb or you know.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it's derived. It's derived from that word, I would assume.
It's not. It's with a K. Shut up.
K-A-N, like Ganji?
Ganja? K-A-N-J-I or something.
Whatever, how am I supposed to know? I don't know anything about this. You're such an asshole.
Thank you. I'm giving you a hard time on your last few days
That's
here.
Right. I know.
What a send off, I take. You know?
Last week it was an intervention about my drinking.
Oh
this
my
week
God.
He's just going to make fun of me.
It was not an intervention. Stop it.
Liar.
You know what? If we started telling her all about you, she'd do intervention on you too right now.
But okay, see, she's
crazy.
Still young.
Yeah,
she's
young.
Allowed to make mistakes.
Right? I don't have three kids yet.
Yeah,
that's
see,
true. That's
she's not
true.
Setting an example for anybody.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, there you
see?
Go.
I'm totally sticking up for her.
Yeah.
Besides, I'm dating a Mormon now, so maybe
he'll... Oh, my God.
Oh, no. She's dating a Mormon.
I'm just kidding. I'm not dating a Mormon.
Well, yeah. Okay, well, yeah.
That's hard.
You better watch what you say, because you're going to Australia, you know? So, yeah. I mean, you have someone waiting there for you.
Oh, he knows. He knows full well what
he's
getting into.
Yeah, he knows who he's dealing with. I don't think so.
Oh, my God. Wait, how long were you guys dating before you're going to move out there?
8 days.
No way. You're dropping everything?
Not 8 days. Yeah, but not only 8 days, but tell her what you were trying to do on the first
night. No, we're not talking about this anymore.
You just go into the archives and stuff.
Oh,
but they were pretty
gosh.
Ambitious the night they met.
Wow.
Yeah, they already made pretty big plans.
Wow. Love at first sight?
Yeah.
Love at first scuba.
Oh.
Yeah, she scuba'd with him, I
That's
guess.
That's so funny.
He told me to go down to the bottom of the ocean and get down on my knees, and I was like, okay.
What?
That's what the scuba instructors do. They tell you to, like, they're like, you, down on your knees, and they make the symbol. They're like, go down, and then they, like, deflate you, make you completely weightless, and you're able to, like, go down to the bottom of the ocean and sit on your knees.
Wow.
And so now that I'm gone, I'm like, I don't want you telling all these hot Swedish chicks to go down to the ocean and get on their knees. It's like, that's not okay.
No, I was going to ask you about scuba. I'm always wondering
scuba.
This.
You like scuba? Yeah.
Scuba. Okay. When you go under, I mean... You
when
get
you
a lot of
down.
Pressure. When you get a lot of pressure on your ears, don't you?
Yes, you have to clear your ears.
How do you clear your ears?
Okay.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So if you have like a really bad sinus infection,
if
you're screwed.
You can't go down. Like you're,
no,
you could
can't.
Like you could blow up your ears.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just know that you know, when you get pressure, when you go deep,
right.
it really hurts.
Oh,
it really hurts on your
when
ear.
When it goes deep?
Yeah.
Yes.
But well, what is it with you today, man? She hasn't gotten any since she came back.
Oh, and I've had a house guest staying at the house, so it's been a little bit hard to, you know, take care of things.
Right. Yeah.
There you go.
Use the guest.
Sorry, Hannah.
Use the guest as a vibrator. Yeah. Oh my God. Just tell Daniel it's just in between, you know.
It doesn't mean anything, baby. I really love you.
Oh, man. All right, so back to Hana now. Yeah. So you went to back to Japan, right?
Yeah.
And you went to college there and stuff.
I did.
And what did you decide to do then? You decided you're coming back to the States?
Well, you know, I wanted to stay in Japan for a while because I did get into the broadcasting over there.
Oh,
and
cool.
The pay is so great when you can speak English and Japanese.
Yeah.
You know, I would be flipping back and forth between the two languages.
Yeah.
And over there, you know, anything American
right.
is so cool.
Really?
So we would, you know, I would teach like little American phrases. And they'd be like, oh, that's so cool. You don't learn that in, you know, in our English class. Yeah. So, yeah, the pay was great, and we had a lot of fun. And then I got engaged and moved over here.
Cool.
So.
Now, listen, I'm going to totally segue here because our guest apparently is calling. We were supposed to call them, but since they're calling, let's just take it, okay? Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie. Is this our guest for this morning?
Yes, I have Bob Bodine on the phone. 1 second.
Okay, thank you. You see, I could tell I recognize the voice and stuff, so
hello.
I might as well. Good morning, Mr. Bodine. How are you doing this morning?
Awesome. How about you?
Great,
fabulous.
Great. We
good
didn't
morning.
Expect you guys to call, so it's
well,
working out.
I just want to check in, make sure you guys are doing okay.
Oh, we're fine. We're fine.
We didn't have enough coffee so far.
There you go. We're working on the third one now. But we also have Hana in the studio, who's a guest as well. And we are calling you, obviously, about your book, The Power of Who. And
you're
gonna love it.
You already know everyone you need to know. Interesting.
That's it.
Cool.
Yes.
You know, in this type of market, you need to know. You need to actually know that.
You need to know people, right? So, I mean, especially
well, you need to actually know your friends. I mean, the problem today is you're not getting jobs from people you don't know.
I see. Okay. So it's more than just networking.
About, you know, it's the whole thing about going out to career websites and people you don't know and asking for them for help. You know, people don't know that 87% of all jobs are placed off of one friend.
Really?
Oh.
Wow. So it doesn't make sense to network with strangers, you say?
No, I mean, this whole concept is ludicrous. I mean, if you know, these people feel like they've been in an accident, and so who do you call in an accident? People you know or you don't know. But the problem is that when you've lost a job, you're embarrassed, so you actually won't call them.
Right.
Oh.
So what you do is you go out to faceless websites and handing out business cards to strangers. And we've got 11.6 million people now who are sitting waiting for Bob Barker to call. And
yeah.
Aww.
But you know, this makes sense because especially in this town, they say, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah. Right.
And this town is totally around relationships and stuff.
Yeah, I get that totally. And I always like to tell people, though, you know, people say, hey, is that what your book's about? And I say, well, you know, the only problem with that line is that the Beatles wrote a song called Help, I Need Somebody. The next line was, help, not just anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so we're talking about a specific group of people that are actually going to help you rather than somebody you just met on Facebook.
Right. So you say that when you're ready to look for a job or anything you're trying to accomplish, look at your closer inner circle first.
Exactly. I got to get you into that. And I'm also going to tell you on the show today, we're going to talk about this. The four questions that, you know, executive recruiters and prospective bosses are thinking about when they meet you.
Okay, so let's go ahead.
Yeah, one, do I know you?
Yeah, makes sense.
Do I like you?
Right.
Three, do you understand my needs? And four, are you the best for me in my particular situation? Now, the first one, do I know you? Think about this. If you know, everybody does that. I don't care if it's from a date to you know, who recommended you, who's your reference, who's your endorsement or your testimony. If I don't know you, with 11.6 million people, you know, who are behind us, they're all going to come. You know, we're going to have four or five people right behind you who are also well qualified.
Yes.
Okay, so if I don't know you, then I don't trust you necessarily. You just wrote a resume and you're just in here. So understand is that if do I know you, since over 80% of all people are placed by one friend, then it would be logical that what you'd do is you'd go to one friend of yours and figure out, make a list of where you want to go and who you want to join. Wouldn't it be amazing if you all of a sudden knew one person who knew that person?
Right.
You do!
Absolutely, absolutely. You
and
know?
Then, and do I like you? I mean, that, if I don't know you, we're moving into the like you thing, and you know on TV it's 10 seconds, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And in an interview, it's a minute and a half. Can you build a personal relationship in a minute and a half? Of course not. So now we're into question number three, and now I'm starting to throw Nolan Ryan fastballs at your cheek.
Right. Yeah.
And of course, that doesn't work as well. And the person who comes in, we got Susie coming in, and we're throwing these little softballs. Boy, don't you think you're good at this? Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm thinking about this. I know that I used to sell cars once. I'm not very proud of it at all. But,
great experience.
But let me tell you, I know that they always told us, you know, the repeats and referrals,
right.
That's where your business is at, not with the strangers that just walk in, you
right.
know. And
you're exactly right.
Yeah, and it makes sense, you know. It totally makes sense.
You know, the greatest mistake in business is not reaching out to friends, leaning on your who. Woe to the person who doesn't, you know, look to teachers and parents and friends and, you know all of this side of where we are. This is where you've got who. You have a community of friends that you've developed over many years through love and unconditional giving. What if these people were supposed to be more important than you thought? What if these people actually played part in your destiny? They
yes,
do.
Right.
What if finding your next job isn't about who you don't know, but whom you've neglected?
Yeah, and you know, I guess you suppose that people have connections and stuff, and they can probably get you in the door.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yes.
And you know what? The thing that we're always trying to do, and we're making this huge error, is we're actually trying to get influencers to do, but they don't know us. But I mean, you know, if you want to go this week to the NBA All-Star Game, David Stern's not going to give you tickets. But his assistant could. Where does she live? Next to us.
There you go.
Good points. All really good points.
Yeah, I mean, we're just missing some things that are so easy and so simple. And, you know, I had somebody wrote a quote on my book who's the head of the NCAA, and he said, this is wisdom parading his common sense.
Yes.
Yeah. I get that, but the problem is we're still not doing it. People are shell-shocked, and the whole book kind of tries to take you through first. You know, when I first wrote this book, I was trying to get people back to just revitalizing their authentic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting people back to dreaming. We have 69% of the country believe a bad day at the beach is better than a good day at work.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, and a lot of them are out of work. They just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
Bob, this was interesting. On top of the radio show, I also nanny part-time, but one of the main family I nannied for, the husband got laid off, and they had to lay me off, you know.
Right.
But so the mother felt so badly about having to lay me off that she reached out to her network of, like, Malibu mommies. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, I didn't even have to, like, fill out a single application, resume, background check. I had 5 different mothers calling me, and I was like inundated with work, and I was like, I haven't even met you guys. Like,
yeah.
You don't even know who I am. But they're like, no, like, Andrea networked for you and blah, 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 blah. And, like, you come so highly recommended. We'll pay you whatever you want. And I was like, okay, this is fabulous.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love
That's
knowing
the
people.
Power of who. Actually, most people don't understand. That is the power of who, that there's this ubiquitous kind of, you know, telephone commercial with that's behind me. You're only looking at me as one direction, and that's Bob Bodine, executive recruiter, or Bob Bodine, author. What you don't know is I've got friends.
Yeah,
I have these people, this whole network of people, and they're not going to help you. They're going to help me help you. That's why you don't need to really go beyond your 12-3-1 and your who friends and in this process, because if you got 100 and I got 100, we have 10,000.
There you
yeah.
go. There you
200.
Go. You know, and I think that's the power of Facebook today, you know, because you're meeting people through friends, you
right.
know, and
yeah.
so that's...
But the difference, I love Facebook on some facets. I think young kids, you know, that might, you know, I have 3 daughters that are 24, 22, and who are 18, and they get it because they're actually keeping their friends and talking to them and doing videos and doing all this stuff with them and staying up to date where they are at college and everything.
Right.
And I think you know, for us that we could put in our high school and our and college and people, and sometimes old friends' names jump up, right?
Right.
All of that's fabulous.
Yes.
But the problem initially is that when we use Facebook and say we have 5,365 friends, who cares? You know, I told people I have that, and then I did a study of who's touched my life and or given me any business, and oops, I found out it was only 87.
Yeah. That's still a lot of people.
Off my forehead.
Yeah.
Stop bobbing people. I call it bobbing them.
And then
how
do you know, though?
Oh, my name's Bob. And, of course, that goes nowhere.
Yeah.
And then how do you know without, you know, that you're not turning into a pest, though? Because I know I have a lot of friends who are like, oh, my God, that guy keeps calling me to try to find a job, and I just wish he'd leave me alone. So how do you know at one point you've got to back off?
Yeah, well, I think the thing really here is that, first and foremost, we're talking about a different group of people than you have before, and I'm really talking about friends. Right. Right. Okay. Real and friends are pre-wired to want to help you. Okay. Acquaintances, they just wish you well.
You can count your friends on like one hand, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really. And then, but you've forgotten a lot of friends because you have the second, you know, circle here of people you knew in high school and college and first job and church and clubs and associations and teams and places you worked, you know, work out. And these people and charities. These people impacted your life. Right. They meant something to you. They did something and had this impact on you. What happened? You just let them go? They moved to Boise and you stopped talking?
Yeah.
No, you can't let these people go because it's hard to find friends. Now, here's the point that you said. Now, it's a great one, is this. So you go to someone. Most people don't get what they want for three reasons. One, they don't ask.
Right.
Right? It's an epidemic disease today.
That's true.
No one can help you if they don't know what you want.
Right.
Okay? And that aspect of asking is, you know, hey, if you and I are best friends and I asked you for help, would you help me?
Yeah, right. That's what friends are.
But why would you deny me the same joy of helping you?
Right.
See, it never works in reverse, and that's what people do, is they never really understand this concept that works in reverse. And then, or we try to do it my way. You know the old Frank Sinatra song?
Yes.
The only problem is that Paul Anka wrote that song.
Really? I never realized that.
Somebody else did the orchestration arrangement. Hey, Blue Eyes sang good, but there's no such thing as my way in life. The what in life, the what you want, and the what you've done will only take you so far.
Yes.
You're going to come to a chasm. Every one of us, we're all the same. We're all what I call a cup short of greatness.
Uh-huh.
But with you, I could do great things. Okay? Yes. With my friends, with someone who opens a door for me, you know, that's why I'm trying to teach young college kids today is, you know, asking for help, that's not a bad thing. But a lot of people ask the wrong who. That's the second one.
Right.
They ask the wrong who. So you're out talking to a bunch of people who really aren't ever going to help you. They're just an acquaintance.
Right.
You know, or three, when you do finally ask somebody, you're vague. People do this to me all the time. Bob, I like to be in sports. So I say, good. What, do you want to be a referee?
Yes.
And so, you know, when you go to people, wouldn't it be logical that you stopped and said, you know, I really have thought about this, and that's why I teach in my book that we got to do a wilderness journey. We really got to find out what we're passionate about. We should be doing jobs we love, with people we love, in a place we love, where our mate loves it, and where we can do all the above for all the right reasons. We're not doing it for position, power, money, trying to get peace, happiness, and contentment. If financial security equaled peace of mind, then the richest people would be the most, you know, peaceful.
That's true.
Not.
But they're not. No, they're not. Yes.
And if happiness equaled things, you know, and that's the same thing there. So, you know, as soon as I get a nice thing, I want a new nice thing.
Yes. So the bottom line is relationships, I think, with people.
This book is about getting people back with your tribe.
And also communication.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We've got to communicate effectively. We have to change a whole paradigm. The reason that the Power Who is so revolutionary is that we've gotten so used to little, you know, machine gun thoughts with people that we've stopped long thoughts. We really don't, you know, if you really want to go deep with someone, I got to know that your mom's sick. Here's the way I treat my Who.
Right.
If you call me and you say to me, Bob, my mom's sick, my kid can't get into this, can you help me? Yes.
Right.
Well, you don't know yet if you can. I know. Right. I'm in with you.
Yes.
My whole who's in with you, we're going to make this happen. Why? Because we've got to change the way we're doing things.
Yeah.
You know, today the whole world screamed for change. We wanted leadership change. We want, you know, economic change, social change. You name it, we want to change it. But the mechanism to actually facilitate change, which is what Obama is, you know, President, you know, Obama's now totally getting a shell shock on, is that nobody really wants to help anybody.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, anyway, we can talk about this for hours. Obviously, you're very passionate about it, and we thank you for taking the time. The book is The Power of Who by Bob Bodine. Do you have a website we can go to and get more information?
I do. It's called powerofwho.com. I blogged. We just did a big blog for CNBC. We're doing blogging every day. We're giving free tips on the job. And, you know, you can get this at the local bookstore. I mean, if there's one, you know, life-changing resource right now to help people find a job, I mean, this is it. That's the only reason I wrote the book.
That's so important in today's economy. Wow.
Yeah. Very timely. Okay, Bob, thank you so much. All the best and congratulations. And,
thank you so much.
Absolutely.
If I can ever help you, let me know.
Wonderful.
We'll do. Now we know you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. The man's got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Right?
I have to pee.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. You see, Hannah, we just say
there
it on
the, yeah, all right.
We don't care, you know. Anyway, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
Now we live on a big plan.
your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station. Talk station.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back with Hanna in the studio.
Good morning.
We had to interrupt your story, but that's okay. This guy was shot out of a cannon, huh? Wow.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But you know what? He really is so right. I mean, if I think about it, like, I've gotten so many jobs just because, like, I know people.
Right.
I mean, probably, I think probably most of the jobs I had are just from having been connected through other people and networking like that.
And I bet you in Japan it's even more like that, right? People are really close-knit and right?
And then, you know, every time we meet somebody new, we always exchange business cards.
Really?
So you always have something to reference to. Whereas here in the States, like, hi, I'm, you know, John or whatever. And then you don't know, you know, their names. You don't really know their number or anything.
Right.
So
there's
always a way to contact because, you know, you have your business card.
Right.
My problem is when I go out at night, I drink a lot. I wake up the next day and I've got, like, 50 business cards in my bag, and I'm like, who the hell are these people? I'm like, I don't even remember them.
that's a problem.
But this is more like a group mentality in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Right. Because I know, I mean, sometimes, like in business, if like a CEO screws up, I mean, he goes and kills himself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they take this responsibility, you know, really, really hardcore.
Yeah, like they let everybody down, you know?
They do, yeah. And then the people who are with him, like his assistants and everybody else, will quit, you know, their job. And,
Wow, that's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you feel comfortable living there? After you lived in the States?
I did. There were times where, you know, they would call me the weird Japanese. You know, that's the weird Japanese girl because she can talk like a Japanese, but she can't read and she acts different.
Aww.
And, you know, so then I, you know, coming from Missouri where I got excluded for being Asian, now I'm going back to Japan and then being excluded again because this time I was the weirdo, because I was too American.
Right.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, and it happens, you know. I mean, I'm from another country also, and you know what they call this? They call it a person on the margin, you know, because you don't really feel like you belong anywhere, and you belong in both places, you know, so it's sort of like, you don't really know who you are at a certain point, you know, and I don't know if it was that profound for you, but
it was,
yeah,
and then, you know, with me, I mean, luckily, the school I went to, a lot of us were the same, we were called returnees, where we had grown up in the States or in other countries, and so we were bilingual, so we had the mixed culture. But then once we got to Japan, we were all lost, but we kind of all found each other at the school because we all spoke Japanese, but we all couldn't read and write. So they actually had classes for us where we would learn Japanese, you know, language, reading and writing from scratch. But we wouldn't work at all on any of the grammatical things because they, you know, they knew we knew everything.
Right.
Okay.
So it was actually really helpful. So we kind of had this network of kids who were, you know, out of place. And luckily for me, I spoke perfect English, whereas I have friends who couldn't speak English very well, who couldn't speak Japanese very well, who could sort of speak French. You know, they were all like this hodgepodge, and those are the people I actually felt sorry for because they didn't have a mother tongue.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
We have a phone call, guys. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Hey, Sam. This is Greg in Cleveland.
Hi, Greg.
Greg in Cleveland. How you doing, Greg?
I'm not even talking to Susie.
Uh-oh.
Greg, no.
You can talk to Hanna instead.
Pack your bags and leave Sam already, Susie.
Well, my bags are not packed yet. It's still kind of up in the air as far as my visa is concerned because I'm really, really pushing it down to the wire. So,
let's talk about something else that you should be taking more into consideration than your visa.
What?
You are deciding to leave of your own free will to go to a country that's burning to the ground.
Oh! Well, she'll fill right in with all, you know, California.
The wildfires.
Yeah. It's a pretty big country, though.
I know. I'm going to be way north in the rainforest. It's actually cyclone season right now.
Oh, my God.
So I don't think we have to worry about it being too dry to burn down up there.
Yeah. Well, he's just looking for excuses.
You, 90% of Australia has burned, so you better not go.
Oh.
It's 90% now.
Oh, my God.
Overnight, it grew. The flames grew out of control. 90% is down. All of the airports have been burned down as well.
Well, I'll helicopter over and then I'll skydive in.
Yeah.
I'll skydive in my scuba gear and then swim to shore. Actually, Greg, this is really funny. So I was talking to Dan, my kind of man out there. My kind of man out there. Well, I don't know. I wanted a date left.
The guy that you're leaving the most prolific show on internet radio besides the Barbecue
Central
show.
Yeah. Well, I'm going for school.
This is the guy you're going for, right?
No, I'm going for school, so stop listening to everything Sam says.
Yeah, just listen to what Susie says.
I don't know if you knew this, Susie, but there are universities right here in the good old U.S.
No.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. No, but listen to this. So I was talking with Dan yesterday, and he was like, I was thinking we should get a pet. And I was like, oh yay, I think we should get a pet, too. And he's like, I'm thinking of fish. And I was like, no, a fish is stupid. We don't want a fish. I was like, but I was thinking maybe I could do something like with the foster kitties that I did here in L.A., you know, work at the animal shelter and then just foster like the unweaned kittens when the moms get killed.
Yeah.
And he said they actually really don't do that much out there, but they do it with baby kangaroos whose moms get hit by cars, so I could foster kangaroos.
Well, isn't it going to be tough fostering a kangaroo and a kid at the same time?
Oh,
yeah.
No, I'm going to put the kid thing on the back burner for a little bit. I think we were a little overeager with that one.
Yeah.
But hey, it made for good radio, and I've gotten an overwhelmingly negative response about Susie having a kid anytime soon.
I'm sure you put a rubber on that cock.
There you go, Greg says it.
No, no glove, no love.
Says right. It as it is, man.
So now look, this is the worst part of you leaving.
Okay.
Aside from Sam's inevitable depression that will take place soon after.
You see, Greg knows me.
Inevitably, he'll probably find another co-host.
Yes.
And then
the
worst part of the whole thing is this. I will now have to let my 57th set of opening bumpers and IDs.
Yeah, you see.
Well, no. We've got this down. We're just going to have the new host called Susie.
That's right.
Yeah. Could you live with that?
That works.
Yeah, then we don't have to
change anything.
That's right. We'll just Photoshop the head. And
Exactly.
Well, for my part, it doesn't even matter what you look like as long as I don't have to use another name.
Oh,
Greg,
my God.
We love you, man. This is Greg Rempe, of course, our host. Today you have a show at 6 o'clock p.m., and that's Barbecue Central. And you've become big. I mean, you've become like the authority on barbecue, I'm telling you.
Wow.
You know what? It's funny that you mentioned that, because the guy that I'm going to be interviewing tonight in the third segment is just launching a brand new Barbecue World magazine.
Ooh.
And first of all, I don't know why you would bother launching a magazine in this day and age.
Right. Yeah, like a webzine or
some of them are closing down. Did you know that PC Magazine, okay, that one came out like when the IBM PC came out. This was their last issue. Now there's no more magazine.
Wow.
You can't hold it in your hands anymore. It's only digital. And now I'm really starting to feel like, shit, you know, this is really affecting my life now. I love to hold magazines in my hand. So I see what you're saying, Greg.
Well, you'll be happy to know then you can subscribe to this magazine. And on a page 66, the Barbecue Central Show made an appearance. I got actual publicity, and I didn't even have to pay for it.
Wow.
Very nice.
Cool.
It's because you know what you're talking about, man. Yeah. You know, and
I have a question for you, Greg. When I was in Australia, my Australian chef friend was like, okay, he's like, we're going to have a real Australian barbecue. And I was like, great, where's the barbecue? Put a shrimp on the Barbie. But I went out there and I was like, there's no barbecue grill. I was like, you know, expecting one of those big manly grills.
What did you say?
What?
No barbecue grill?
Yeah, they had no grill. It was like everything was over. You would burn the wood down to the coals and you would actually have it on like a smoking barbecue. And they said, so you don't do that. You actually have, like, the big manly grill.
So, well, here's the thing, right? Across any terrain, any country, the word barbecue is probably going to mean something different. To us, barbecue in America is something that's, you know, uniquely American.
Propane tank.
No,
charcoal.
No, that's not barbecue at all. That's grill.
That's charcoal.
Oh. Yeah.
You see, there's a difference.
Oh,
Susan.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Kansas City's the big home of the rib, so it's,
Forgive me.
You gotta
I'm
have
so
the charcoal.
Sorry.
Yeah, so, but you could even get into the minutia of breaking it down where there's a certain faction of people that think if you're using charcoal, you're not barbecuing. It would have to be a indirect wood fire only.
Right. Oh.
And to drill even farther deeper than that, what you just said about what the Aussies do about burning wood down into coals and then shoveling in.
Yep.
To most people, or to a lot of purists, that is the truest form of barbecue. Right. Burning down mesquite or hickory logs into coal form and then just continually shoveling them in to maintain temperature.
Yes, yeah. And also the flavor, so the smoky flavor.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, I could bore you to
I
death.
I have a lot to learn from you.
Yeah, well, we'll listen to the show. I mean, all your archives are on there, and you've covered a lot in the past year.
Yeah, and I still have new stuff to talk about, which just reinforces this show is growing and is a needed tool to educate the great unwashed about barbecue and grilling. You can't say barbecue grill. You can't say that because they're two independent things.
Right.
Yeah. Barbecue and grilling, it has to do with the temperature. It has to do with the length of time that you cook it and all that stuff. And
it's like saying Lance Susan, Armstrong and,
And Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear.
Let me change gears just for one second.
Okay.
I want to play you guys something.
Okay, let's hear it.
I want to hear what you have to say about what you're about to hear. I want your reaction. You've probably heard this, but please bear with me.
Okay.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have that, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa.
Yeah. South Africa.
Help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future.
Jessica Simpson?
No, that's one of the
Miss America pageant?
Miss America
pageant.
God, how embarrassing.
Is that the worst 38.6 seconds of anybody?
I thought that was Jessica Simpson.
I think it's the funniest thing, though, man.
Just
I mean,
South Carolina from a few years ago. I mean, and the best part of the whole thing is you heard the timer bell go off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then for another 3 seconds, she decided to press through the chase through 36 seconds.
Wisdom. Yeah,
she makes Paris Hilton look like a genius.
No.
That's my favorite soundbite of all time.
Wow.
Thank you, Greg. And you're awesome. And Greg, of course, is the voice of LA Talk Radio.
Wait, Greg, I thought my clip about Lisa in Vegas was your favorite clip of all time. Getting the finger in the ass.
That's the one with the finger.
Yeah, that one. But I do have to say that the queefing bit is very good. Yeah,
we played that yesterday, yeah. Maybe we'll play it for Hannah, but she might flee.
Well, maybe Hannah's had a queefing moment.
It's too soon to ask. All right, Greg. Thanks
She's
so
blushing.
Much, man. And we do have a transsexual coming soon, so stay tuned.
Yes, I love tits and cock right on one person.
Yes, you know it.
He doesn't mince in words, let me tell you. And, okay, Greg Rempe, Barbecue Central today, tonight at 6 p.m. on, of course, Pacific. We don't need to qualify that. Greg, thanks
bye,
so
Greg.
Much. Get back to work, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, that's our own Greg.
I love his voice. Funny. He's got a great radio voice.
He does have a great voice.
Yeah, I mean, listen to this.
Hello, this is Borat Sekiev. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
So that's Greg.
Wow.
And he did another one. Let's see this one.
Hello, George Takei here. You know, the only thing more gay than me and rad are the confines the FCC plates on terrestrial radio. That's why I tune in to the internet and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's better than sucking cock. Oh my.
Oh my.
That's like his favorite word.
I know.
Greg loves that. He loves this shit.
I have to give a quick shout out to my friend Calvin. Calvin James, and he's in Vancouver right now, and he's listening.
Yes.
Cool. Yes.
Calvin in Vancouver.
Yes, Calvin in Vancouver. I love you, Calvin. He's one of my party friends over there.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, yes, yes.
So you have girlfriends there too, right?
Yes, actually. I wanted to have I call her my evil Canadian twin. Uh-huh. Her name's Rochelle. Like, when we get together, we are just naughty, naughty people.
No. Yeah.
We just turn into like awful human beings, but we have so much fun.
I'm sure.
But so she's going to call in at some point this week, so I'll arrange a good time for that.
Okay.
Yeah. But cool. I've been dying to have her on the show.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, let's bring her in. Hannah, I wanted to ask you, okay, so you were in Japan, you went to college and everything, and then what? You decided to come back here to the States?
Yeah, so I got married and came to L.A.
Oh, so you got married there.
Well, we did both a reception in Japan and here in L.A.
Okay.
And then, you know, I was trying to get back into the business, but my husband was going to law school, so I had to get the bills paid.
Oh,
so
wow,
I
yeah.
was doing like
One
the administrative,
things.
You know, work 9-to-5 jobs, and then before you knew, I had kids, and then I've been sort of out of the job force for a while.
How old are your kids?
I've got a 10-year-old, 7-year-old, and an 18-month-old.
Wow, so that keeps you busy.
Yeah, so I'm like up to my yin-yang with, you know, PTA stuff. But, you know, like I don't want to be the full-on soccer mom. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think there's a life outside of that.
Do you have
a
van?
I have a minivan, yes I do.
Oh,
I do.
She's got a minivan.
I'm like, what about the hydraulic system on it?
Was that hard?
To switch over to being a full-time mom.
Minivan mom.
Yeah, it was really hard. Because you just get rid of your whole identity.
Yes.
You know, and you're no longer...
Your life changes forever.
It does.
At that moment.
It does. And then people start calling you, Mom, look at this. You know, like the dentist would be like, Mom, you need to look at your kids. And it's like, you know, I have a name.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep calling me Mom because I'm not your mom.
Oh, no.
So that's really hard. So, it's, you know, for me, it's like now I'm like going through this midlife crisis where I really want to get back and do something with my career.
Right.
But then I still have, you know, my 18-month-old still needs me. So
yes.
I feel really like pulled in two directions.
Yes.
Right.
But if I don't do it now, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be really old. And then by then it'll really be too late to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
So what do you want to get back to? Are you going to, you want to work mornings or part-time or full?
Probably like part-time.
Okay.
You know, it's so hard because nannies are so expensive. You know, you would know, Susie, right?
I'm a childcare technician. I actually,
for
that, you know, I've got all kinds of wonderful skill sets and language development and, you know, CPR.
Seriously, the more qualified you are, it's like, oh my God, I should be working as a nanny.
Absolutely.
You know? God, it's so expensive.
Oh, goodness.
CCT, right?
Child care technician, yes, thank you. I've coined that term.
Oh. Yeah.
Great. Really?
Yeah, that's her title. So, no, but really, I mean, it's not like you had one child. You had three.
Yeah.
How do you get a body like this back?
Oh, my God. I go to the gym like 3 times a week, and then I also do something called cardio bar.
Cardio bar, I like it.
There's
do you drink
right
while you work out?
No. Oh, God, I wish. No, it's like a sort of a ballet with low impact going on. So I do that twice a week. So
fun.
Yeah, but see, this is the time that I go to the gym, and it's just my time. Like, no one's going to bug me. I've got the phone off. You know, I just get into my own element, and I just work out, and then you get sort of that runner's high.
Yes.
You know, because I don't really drink anymore, and so it's like, oh, my God, I feel so good when I come out of my exercise.
Yeah.
So that's, that's like my big thing right now.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Cardio
awesome.
Bar.
Yeah. Listen, I must go pee as well, Susie.
Oh, Sam.
You see, we take pee breaks
on
the air.
Yeah, and I'll go after that.
Yeah, right on the air, man.
Everyone knows our pee schedule around here.
And hopefully our second guest is going to be here. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
Are you a Mexican trying to sneak into this country only to have a U.S. citizen turn you over to federal agents? Then you need a lawyer who will run for the border for your rights.
Bernie Frivolous, attorney at law.
Me and my amigos were just minding our own business and trying to get jobs Americans won't do when this guy arrests us for trespassing.
Ay, caramba! Sounds like a frivolous lawsuit.
When you're trying to find a better life in another country but find yourself soaked with despair, only one lawyer has your wet back. That lawyer is Bernie Frivolous.
Hey, S.A., I'll scale the border fence of justice, and as Jesus is my witness, I'll sue this guy for every peso in his El Walleto.
Call the Frivolous Law Firm today.
I'm Bernie Frivolous. Let's sue someone together. Comprende?
Muchas gracias, Bernie.
De nada. Now cut my lawn or I'm calling INS.
LATalkRadio.com isn't just an internet address. It's the home of irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk.
on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
There's something very sensuous when a woman starts talking dirty, you know? You're not expected to in society,
it's
you know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of. Give us another one. Let's hear another one. A really nasty one.
I'm not asking for love. No long language afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not after love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft, lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you, rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Wow. I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
And we totally turned off Hannah here.
Hannah's like, oh my God.
She's like, where the hell did I end up?
Did you listen to any shows before you came in here?
I just listened to the, you know, couple of episodes, but clearly I didn't listen to that one.
No,
my
you
God.
Didn't listen to that
Whoa.
One. No, no.
Wow.
You get people here, let me tell you. I mean, God. This was a poem that this woman wrote. She's got a whole book.
She had a whole book of them.
Oh my God.
And those poems, yeah.
Funny. Naughty, naughty poems.
Yeah.
And where would they sell this book of poems?
She would read them. At like poetry night.
No, she had it on Amazon and stuff too.
Yeah, but she would also go and read them too.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my
Do like
God.
Readings and stuff. Right. Can you imagine?
At like coffee shops late night, you know.
Oh my God.
Like,
is she like a total nympho? Is that what it is?
She said she was. Well, she, yeah. Yeah, she had. I guess she's got her own problems.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, people, you know. But that's the thing, you know, Hannah, is that we figured we need a show where people can talk normally, you know.
Right.
People talk the way they talk on the street, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's too much. I mean, people on the radio today, they just sound like puppets, you know.
Right.
So that's the appeal of our show.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's
and
really cool.
Hannah is like, yeah, it's cool, but I'm not going to be part of this shit. All right, so you came back here,
yes.
And you got married and everything
yep.
else. And so...
what did you go to school for?
Where, in Japan?
Yes.
Oh, just did my university studies, and then...
No particular focus. Oh, history.
Yeah, I did comparative history.
Okay, that's
and
right.
And then, you know, one of the reasons why we went back was because my parents didn't trust me to go to a school in the States.
Ooh.
And, you know,
really?
let me stay at the dorm. They're like,
Well, with those legs and that short skirt,
you know?
Yeah, I don't blame them.
I have a big, you know, party girl history, which we won't get into right now.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so my parents were like, you're not... So, yeah, they dragged me back.
Yeah. Are you still guys, you're still very close with the family and stuff?
Well, no, actually, you know, my brothers and sisters were all kind of spread, and then both my parents are gone. They've passed away. And
Aww.
So, yeah, so now it's like, actually, my mom passed away President's Day holiday last year.
Oh,
so
no.
We're coming up to the 1 year, but yeah, so now it's like, I kind of feel lost. You know, another thing to add to my midlife crisis, you know, is like, my parents are gone. I don't really have a home base.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But you've got your own family now.
Yeah,
you know?
I do.
Yeah. So what's it like being a mom? I mean,
oh
you know.
Man, it's really, it's fun, it's rewarding, but at the same time, it's like, God, I wish I could get paid for this, you know, when you're up at like 3 a.m, like taking care of sick kids or like literally throwing up like the Exorcist on
yes.
all over the wall. It's like, oh, I didn't sign up for this, you know, because it just, you know, when you see it on TV, it's like the little Johnson & Johnson baby commercial where the mom's like correcting the little soft baby,
yeah.
you know, it's like real life is not like that at all, you
right.
know,
yeah.
so.
It always seems they want to cry, like you know what I mean, they're fine when you know everything else is fine in your life, but when you're having like a bad day, it's like, really, you're gonna choose to cry right now?
Yeah.
You're gonna throw a tantrum right now?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So did we just get stood up by a transsexual? Huh?
Maybe.
20 minutes later, I think so. Yeah. I think it's safe to say.
I don't know. Maybe she's lost.
No.
Yeah, obviously. You know? With an appendage between her legs and boobs at the same time.
Wow.
She is lost, yes.
Yeah.
Somewhere between.
She's pretty.
Yeah.
Now?
Definitely.
Oh.
Did you see the pictures of her, like, when someone was going down on her?
Yes.
Yes.
I did?
Yeah,
oh
I was like,
God.
I was trying to do research for today's show. I'm like, I'm going to check out this Kimber James. I'm missing out on something.
Kimber James, that was the name.
You know? Yes. Yeah, so I was like totally checking out. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You're like, I hope my
you
kids
know?
Aren't watching.
Yeah, like,
they're
going
to go into history and be like, what's mom been looking at?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, but I'm like, wait, this is wrong. Like, how could she be this pretty, you know?
Yeah. I know. It's amazing. You know, one like that in Israel became like an international superstar.
Wow.
A transsexual. Yeah.
What do you call a person that is, it's a guy, but he dresses as a girl? Is that just transgender?
Cross-dresser.
Cross-dressing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was actually in love with a cross-dresser once upon a time.
I think it's a transvestite also.
Transvestite. You know? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I was in love with a transvestite once upon a time.
Really?
Yes.
Did you know he was?
Yeah, well.
In the beginning?
Yes. Wow. He hadn't had any surgery or anything like that, but he would dress in women's clothes and things like that. His name was Star. And so this was actually really bad. I would go down to New York City with Star, and we would go to all these like gay clubs and things like that. And he was like, Susie, he's like, you know, if I was ever straight, you'd be the only girl for me. And I'm like, oh, you're so cute. But this was actually horrible, Sam. So I come from a very conservative Catholic family.
Oh, my God.
And so my dad and I got in a fight on Christmas Day because he found out I had no driver's license and I was driving the car and it was in his name. And if I got in an accident, he's like, I can lose everything. Right. So I threw a fit and I pouted. I started walking in this miserable, freezing cold Christmas Day weather. And I was just crying. I was so upset. I was like,
wow,
I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to do something. Like, I hate my dad. But so I call Star because I knew his family had completely ostracized him.
Right.
And so I was like, can you please come pick me up? And he was like, yes. And so we went to my grandparents' house where my whole family was having Christmas dinner. And I was like, my family's really Catholic. They're loving. They accept everyone.
Right.
So in marches Susie for Christmas dinner with this transvestite. And my family was like, what? My mother and stepfather pulled me into the next room.
Wait,
and they're
was
like,
he wearing a woman's dress?
Yes,
or?
And makeup.
Really?
Oh, my God.
And my mom and stepdad were like, Susie, if you ever bring this thing into our home again, they're like, you will not be welcome in the house.
Wow.
And I was like, you know, screw you guys. I was like, you're the ones that are masquerading as like the great, loving, all-accepting, you know, Catholic people. And here's someone that doesn't have anywhere to go on Christmas Day. I thought you guys would be bigger people than this. But they're like, nope, obviously we're not.
We're still superficial.
Wow.
As ever.
Yes.
Oh my God.
But so they were a little pissed off at me for that one.
Wow. They're probably like, oh, what are the neighbors going to think? You know?
Oh, yes.
I mean, can you imagine being, let's say, cursed with something like this?
Right.
I don't know what else to call it, you know, but or being blessed, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, this is, again, on the fringe, you know, on the margin. It's like, who the hell are you anyway, you know?
Yeah.
And
a lot of us have identity issues and are trying to figure out who we are, you know what I mean?
I suppose, yeah.
So maybe they just have it on a different level.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, you know, they feel that they were born into the wrong body.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
Yeah.
So did he like guys? I mean, was he gay?
He liked guys, yes.
Yeah.
But he wanted to be the woman.
Yeah.
And I liked him.
Did he like borrow your bras and your shoes and stuff like that?
No, his wardrobe was a bit more crazy.
Blimey?
Yes.
Oh, no way.
It was very, very, very crazy stuff that he was wearing. Lots of sparkles, lots of glitter, lots of, like, I don't really wear that many high heels, but he would like just have crazy outfits.
Well, was he a pretty one though?
Or was he gorgeous.
Okay.
He was absolutely gorgeous. He was like an angel, and I was just in love with him. And my family's like, Susie, like, you've officially lost your mind.
Like, wake up.
You can't be. Yes. He wants nothing to do with you like that. And I'm like, yes, he does. I could change him.
Yeah, what is it with women wanting to change the men? You know?
I know.
I mean, what is it? You know, it's like, because it's never going to work anyway, you know,
right.
Because, you know, somebody has to want to change, you know, and if they just change for you, then they're going to resent you later. You know,
right.
So it doesn't work. It doesn't work about changing people, Susie.
I could have been the man.
You gotta find someone. And besides, why would you want to work so hard anyway? Find someone who is right for you. You know,
I was young and I thought like he was just so cool and I really looked up for him for like standing up to his family and like what he believed in and things like that.
But
and
you know how now, I mean, it is a challenge in the beginning, but after that, I mean, it's like,
through like identity issues at the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was struggling like trying to deal with my family and like coming from where I was going and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it felt that we were really going through the same thing. So on an emotional level, we really kind of bonded.
Right.
So that was what made me, you know, initially, aside from his hotness, attracted to him.
Uh-huh.
So,
because you already had that connection.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously I knew I couldn't change him if he was gay. Whatever he was.
Right. You just hoped.
I just hoped really, really badly.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, in back to Japan, because I'm fascinated with it, and you obviously know a little bit about it. How do they view like premarital sex and stuff? I mean, is that like a big sin or?
Well, you know,
what's going
that's
on
where
there?
It's like sort of borderline. You know, good girls, they
supposedly don't, right. you know, and the bad girls do. Right. But then we have these things called love hotels all over the place
yeah.
where they're literally hotels that you rent out by the hour.
Uh-huh.
And so you pay like, I don't know, $20 for 2 hours or something like that. And they actually have a condom in the bedroom and
wow.
everything.
So you can go with your boyfriend
right.
rather than go home.
Right, because a lot of people live with their parents
exactly.
still, you know,
uh-huh.
And there's a lot of extramarital affairs going on as well. So, hey, you know, on your lunch break, hey, let's go do a 1 hour quickie. And
yeah.
there you go, you know? So, wow. And that's completely fine. I mean, it's out in the open. You can drive by him. You can walk by him. It's not a big deal,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then in the home, it's like, oh, we don't talk about the birds and bees, you know,
wow.
God forbid. So, but then you look at like the Japanese anime, the animation, and there's a lot of like sex,
right.
you know, rape and that kind
right.
of thing. And
there
it's
is,
fine.
There really is.
Yeah. yeah. It's really disturbing because a lot of the kids are, you know, reading these things.
Absolutely.
And, you know, in the trains, like in the morning commute, you know, I'd be on the train at 8 o'clock in the morning trying to get to my class, and there'd be guys like trying to feel me up.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I'd be slapping wow. their hands away. There's times when I would have like 3 guys coming in from different direction.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is kind of.
And
well,
nobody says or does
no,
anything.
No. And other really? Women will be like, oh my gosh, she's getting attacked. But they will not stand up for you. They will look away and
wow.
actually just completely ignore it.
Wow.
And I would, of course, you know.
So you're on
so,
your own.
Yeah, you are. And so
wow.
I would be literally like yelling at the top of my lungs, like, leave me the fuck alone.
Right,
you know?
Because
I'm like trying to, I'm sleepy. I want to get to school and, you know.
Wow.
And
that's awful.
I would
just
actually.
To have to put up with that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, here they get arrested right
oh,
away.
Oh, yeah,
right away. All you
yeah.
have to say is help.
Yeah, and you know, all the men would help you, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, over there, it's like everybody just ignores it. It's like,
wow.
it's your problem. Deal with it.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's how they view women, right? Right? I mean,
yeah.
I've seen some Japanese porn, and, you know, you mentioned rape and stuff,
right.
you know? You know, it's like, why do they have to demean the women so much? It seems
right.
to be like an ongoing theme
right.
with
well,
Japanese
porn. Well, I mean, it's been
yeah.
part of the culture for as a history major,
yeah.
you know? I mean, starting, was the foot binding in Japan?
No, that's China.
Yeah,
well,
that's China.
You know what I mean? I just
yeah.
feel like they've been oppressed for
right.
a very long time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of hard to get away from.
Yeah.
yeah.
But still in Japan the women dote on you and stuff and
yeah.
and serve you, right?
They do. Well, you know, they still
they
do.
Expected.
A lot of the younger women now
right.
they don't. They're just
right.
like, "Oh, whatever."
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why men will go to these things called hostess clubs. And
mm.
they're actually nightclubs where there's really beautiful women dressed up and they will sit there and light your cigarettes and they'll pour you your drinks and then you pay by the hour to have these women
mm.
sit at your table.
Wow.
Is it kind of like a geisha?
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, modern day geisha, basically, because they are sitting with you and they're, you know, just talking and be like, oh, you're so handsome and you're so successful and,
oh,
you know,
really?
Stroke your ego. Yeah.
Wow. Do they have sex with them, too?
Sometimes they will, like, do, the, you know, the whole sugar daddy kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
I see.
But it's not part of the
but
job.
But it's not prostitution
no,
or something.
No, it's not.
I
it's
see.
Not. It's just something that they would do, you know, behind,
right.
yeah, after work kind of thing.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
We have someone in the studio.
We have someone in the studio?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll go check and see who it is.
Okay, well, we probably should take a little break. Well, but I was, so... I mean, what is it? So, do you think that violence in the porn that I'm seeing
mm-hmm.
is this a result of like demeaning women?
And then I think it's just because the men are so frustrated from work. You
right.
know, in Japan, it's like if you're at the bottom of the ladder, you have to literally be on your hands and knees, apologizing every time there's any slightly mistake, whether it's your mistake or somebody else's.
Right.
And so they're really feeling frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, and they're working Saturdays, sometimes
yeah.
even Sundays.
Right.
And so the only way they can take out this frustration is by watching like these porns where they're like beating up the women. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
But
it's
I mean,
just really
but
weird.
I mean, is this an attitude that they have in their normal lives too? I mean, do you think?
Mm.
You know, from watching this stuff, it's sort of like a reflection of a culture, I think.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because so, yeah, even now, like you know, the husbands will slap their wives if we did something wrong. Be like slapping it. You know, you don't question it. You don't get
really?
Mad. You're just like, oh, sorry, I did something wrong. Like, oh, was your food not hot enough today? You know?
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just completely normal.
Yeah.
yeah.
But they're starting to become westernized and everything,
yeah,
right? So
they
you're
are.
Saying like the young people are not going to go for
no,
that?
No, they're not.
Right?
Yeah, they're not going to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good news for Japan, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and sometimes, though, you know, you have to look at it from their perspective as well. Right. And, you know, because we judge based on what we know.
Right.
But I would imagine most of the women there are probably happy with the way things are because they don't know any different.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, that's what they're brought up with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how they were raised, you know, serve the man and stuff. I could go for that, Susie. Maybe I should move to Japan.
It sounds like your wife already does all of these things for you. His wife left the country like and for like a day. Sam was like, I don't know what to do. So I called her sister and I had her come home and do my laundry.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, you little baby. I was like, you can't do anything for yourself.
Well, did your wife actually like make you dinner and pack it and like label it?
No, she didn't do that. No.
Liar. But you see, she did too.
But I'll tell you though, it's because I've become lazy since I got married. Before that, I'm telling you, since I was 16, I've been on my own since I was 16.
Wow.
I always did my own laundry, ironing.
Good for you.
Never cooked. I'm not into cooking, but yeah, clean, you know, cleaning the house and stuff.
Wow,
yeah,
good.
I've always been like that. So
used
maybe,
yeah.
So maybe.
And how long ago was that?
Maybe I just want to be spoiled now, you know, a little bit and stuff. And it's cool. It's really cool, you know, especially when she enjoys doing a lot of things. I mean, I can't understand how anybody could enjoy cleaning a house, but sometimes she does. You know?
I doubt it.
That's what she says, you know? I don't know. Sometimes you just
She's
get
lying.
In that mood to clean up.
Really loves cleaning the toilet, I swear.
Yeah.
There's nothing she would rather do when she comes home from like serving you all day.
That's
than
right.
Scrub the toilet.
That's
She's
right.
not serving me. Shut up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many things I still want to ask you and stuff. So now, you're not working right now, right? You're
right.
Just a mom full time
yes.
and stuff.
That's
which
a full time job.
I
know that.
Yeah, with three
job.
Kids,
yeah.
you know? I mean, amazing, yeah. So, and what does your husband do? I mean, you said he went to law school, right?
Yeah, he's an attorney.
An attorney?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got to watch what I say.
Yeah. Well, we don't think highly of him in here, but, you know, but I'm sure he's a good one, right?
Yeah, he's a liberal one.
I don't mind attorneys.
You don't mind attorneys?
Remember the two I had a couple months ago?
Yeah, you did. But that that wasn't, yeah.
Never mind.
No. Yeah, you'll have to go back to the archives for that one, yeah. But yeah, Susie does do a lot of wild things and stuff.
Attorneys.
Yeah. She does attorneys. She does, yeah.
I'm halfway kidding.
That's okay. She's young. Yeah. Let her do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I like your attitude. There
yeah.
you go.
Plus, she talks more than she does.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
She likes to talk a lot about things that she does and would like to do. But no, I mean, you've done, you know, she went to Peru for the weekend last
week.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that.
I mean, what do you think of that? I mean,
that's cool.
That'd be cool, right?
That is really cool.
Yeah. So she's able to do that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when you have kids and stuff.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah,
at all.
And you better keep that in mind, Susie. When
I'm
you want
keeping
an
that in mind.
Australian baby.
That's why I'm celibate Susie.
Right.
I'm celibate Susie from now on.
I'd love to get you a chastity belt, you know? I mean, do they still make those?
I don't know, but it doesn't. It sounds
in a museum or something. They probably have like modern day ones, you know?
Yeah, but like a gag thing, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah, but can you imagine? I mean, the man goes, like, this is something they probably do in Japan, you know? Just like, put this on so the woman can't screw anybody. You go out to war, you
come
back.
How does it work? Like, how do you pee with it on?
I think it's got like a little hole maybe for peeing and stuff. I mean, it's it's obviously disgusting, okay? But it's a whole metal thing, you know?
Really?
Yeah, that you wear like underwear and stuff. You know?
Oh,
it's
my God.
Would have, like padlocks on it.
Padlocks, oh, God.
I think I'm just going to be celibate Susie for now.
That's bad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, you know, the crazy things that people used to do and the torture they used to have back in the old days.
Yeah.
You know, stretch you and shit.
I don't know.
Iron Maiden, you know.
Oh,
can you imagine?
That?
I don't know.
The Iron Maiden, you know what that is?
No.
It's like, it's the shape of a person made of metal. And it's got all these like blades when you close the door.
Ah.
You know? So you put the body in there like a little casket, right? And then you close the door and it's got all these blades and stuff.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
That's awful. I don't want to talk about that.
So they did. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about torture.
Yeah.
There's a museum of torture somewhere. I can't remember where.
In California?
Actually here in L.A.
Really?
Yeah.
We should take a field trip and go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I do it, but it sounds interesting.
It sounds
you know?
Like Candace, who was on the other day, would really enjoy that.
Because she was talking about the horror movies, and she liked watching all those things. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I know, people in the horror films, you know. Yeah. What kind of films do you like? Chick flick?
No, I don't like that. No. I like Lord of the Rings, you know.
Do you? Really?
Yeah,
you
like the Star Wars. Stuff? Yeah, and then I also like the animation stuff. Like My Neighbor Totoro, Spirited Away, that kind of thing.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
I think I've got that inner tomboy. You know, I don't look like a tomboy, but I'm such a tomboy.
Yeah. Yeah. You should definitely guest on Jeff's show. He's got like a science fiction, fantasy, horror type of a show on Sundays. Yeah. Oh. And that'd be cool. Yeah. Because you'd have a lot to talk about, I'm sure.
I know. I was telling you.
Do you
about
play
Vanessa.
Video games too?
You know what? Actually, there's a game called Parasite Eve. It's an old PlayStation game, and I'm the final evil boss.
Really?
Yes, they modeled it after me, so I'm like, yeah, man, the claws are out, you know?
Have you heard of Second Life, Susie?
You were telling me about it.
I mean, everybody seems to have heard about it, but nobody I know is using it. But it's like a virtual world on the internet, you know, where you have like an avatar and something, you know.
Like a Sims thing.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, really?
But you meet people, you go to work, there's a bank, there's a post office.
Oh, my God.
There's all these things. You have money. Because
I was talking about Dungeons and Dragons.
Right,
because one of my... former men used to play that, and I was like amazed because I always thought it was just a computer game. I didn't know it was like a game that people actually played.
Right.
And then you started telling me about Second Life.
Yeah, and Second Life is on the computer, you know, and it's, but I've never really even went there.
Right.
You know, to the website. I don't know. I never had any desire to.
Can you live in Australia in it?
It's a different land, Susie.
Oh,
so funny. Oh, is that the one where that woman tried to like kill her husband in that? Inside the game, and then she actually got arrested because they thought she was planning it or something.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow, never heard of that one. That's probably it, though.
Yeah. That would be crazy.
That would be, I know.
Oh, my God, I wonder if she was convicted.
You know, I don't know, but yeah, I remember seeing that, thinking, that's virtual reality. That's like saying you're having an affair because you're, you know, having an affair in that life. You know, it's just crazy.
I know. The stuff that people do. You know, by the way, I feel like eating falafel now.
Falafel?
Yeah. I don't know. The taste just came out of nowhere. And you know what? There's actually a good place right down the corner here.
Oh, really?
Maybe I'll go. Do you like falafel, Susie?
I like kebabs.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay, well, they can make it there, too. Maybe I'll take you there after the show or something.
Hannah,
what kind of food did you like? Do you like?
I love Asian food, but I kind of eat anything and everything. Mm-hmm. I used to hate Mexican food, but now I love it.
Really?
Yeah, but the really hardcore stuff.
Really?
Yeah, like the goat stew, that kind of thing.
The goat stew.
Yeah,
goat stew.
Wow. They're really good.
Yeah, so, really?
Yeah, but I will pretty much eat anything and everything at least once.
Yeah.
You know? So I've
gotta
tried
dog
soup.
You ate dog?
Yeah, I ate dog.
Sorry, PETA.
Yeah. What did it taste like?
Well, it was just full of mustard seeds, so all you can taste is just the mustard thing.
What kind of dog was it?
Like some sort of a red dog. I don't know. It was some
and that's
Korean
in Japan?
Thing. No, it wasn't. It was a Korean thing.
It was an Irish setter?
No, it was in Japan. But even in Japan, it's illegal. But
really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what's the fascination of eating dogs? I mean, there's so much to eat, you know? It's like, why would you go through the trouble of hiding and all this stuff, you know? And like keeping
it
secret.
That great.
And that. But I remember, I mean, I saw pictures a few years ago in a magazine in China, and there's like a little booth in the middle of the street, and these dogs are just hanging there. So dead dogs, you know, and but you know, I mean, it's all relative. I mean, we do that with chickens, you know.
Right.
So
I'm still horrified when I see the chickens hanging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't show that anymore, though.
In Peru, they did.
They do.
They,
huh?
They were hanging all over the place, and I was like,
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, you'd go to the butcher, and they all hang in there in a row.
Yeah. You
know? It was morbid, man.
I had never even seen a shrimp with the head on it until I went to Australia.
No way.
Yes. I was like horrified that I had to pull the head off of it. I'm like, ugh. You know, I'm like at the country club, it comes already, you know, like shelled, and I just dip it in the sauce. I'm like, oh, it has eyes.
Oh, that's so funny. So you don't eat raw fish?
Oh, I love raw fish.
Okay.
But I'm just not used to it having its head on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you ever had prawns, like the really big shrimp?
That's what we were eating in Australia, and I'd never seen them with the heads on. So I went to have dinner with Dan's family, and we picked up all these prawns, and I was just like, whoa. Like, I'm scared.
No, I don't know that I would touch that. You know, the closest I get to shellfish is just like popcorn shrimp. That's about it. where I can't taste it.
He won't even eat lobster, though. He's a big baby. He's never had a lobster.
Oh, no, my God. Well, maybe because you're allergic to it.
No. I was just raised.
He's a kosher Jew.
Well, I'm not a kosher Jew, but I was raised with, like, you know, you don't eat that kind of stuff, you know?
Really?
Yeah. So it's just sort of an aversion, you know, because, you know, you grow up, it's not an edible thing, right. And it's got all
it's
the.
It's not
the,
an
the,
edible thing?
Well, no, you're not raised with a bean one. And, you know, and it's got all these, I don't know, it doesn't look attractive.
But you weren't supposed to eat cheeseburgers, were you?
No.
And you like cheeseburgers now?
No, I do.
Well, then get over the lobster.
Yeah, but that's different.
But the lobster
though.
Is different. The lobster just looks gross.
What about like raw oyster? Do you eat raw oyster?
No, never would.
I know they're so good, but they look
really?
Gross.
They look so gross.
Oh, man, they look like boogers and shit. Yeah. I don't know how anybody can eat that stuff.
Oh, they're good.
Man.
I love it in my mouth.
Really?
So it's nice bloody. And salty.
Yeah.
The oyster. What?
Dead silence.
He just gave me a death stare.
So, what other food? I mean, Japanese food you like, right? Sushi?
Yeah, I love sushi. I love something called kaiseki, and that's the ones where it changes by the season. So it's very small portions, and it's done by the top chef, you know, where the guy has literally studied this for 20 years before he's even allowed to prepare for a customer.
Really?
Yeah, and it's really great because everything is just so beautiful. I mean, you don't want to touch it because it just, it's like
it really
work
does
of
look
art.
Nice. Now, is sushi the same here as it is in Japan?
Or
no.
We
made it California style.
Sucks. People in Japan have a lot of fish flown in from other places in the world, though, correct?
Yeah, but most of it comes from Japan.
Really?
So it's really, I mean, they literally got it from the market that morning at 6 a.m.
Okay.
Whereas here, it's like, you don't know where the hell it's been, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, like, I just don't like to eat sushi here in L.A. because it tastes like crap.
Really?
Aww. Yeah. It's like, I wouldn't feed it to my dog.
Not even like an authentic Japanese place?
No, you have to go to the really authentic, where, you know, everybody speaks Japanese only, and, you know, you don't see
like
any
a mom
customers.
And pop type of a restaurant or something, maybe,
yeah,
no?
But
yeah,
but a lot of the places are owned by Koreans, so you have to be really careful, too.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah, so I only go to the certain ones in Little Tokyo.
Right.
Here in downtown, and that's it.
Wow.
Evan went to a party last night. It was this big party at this huge mansion, and then they actually had a naked girl on the table,
oh,
and
gross.
She was all covered in sushi.
Oh, that's
really?
Yeah, so she had to lay still until all the sushi was, like, eaten off of her body.
Wow.
Yeah, they gotta do it, like, 3-4 hours.
Uh-huh.
That would suck.
I know.
No pee breaks there, you know?
I know. Like, seriously, what if you have to get up and pee? Like, you're just gonna, like, toss all the sushi?
Well, you don't drink anything, and you go right before.
What if you have to fart?
I don't know.
Nice.
I mean, that's kind of disgusting.
What if, Susie?
I don't know.
The jobs that people get, you know?
I mean,
it's amazing.
I guess people need a job these days. You'll take anything.
Yeah.
That could be kind of fun. Maybe I'll be a raw sushi model.
People would love that. Was
oh
she totally
God.
Nude?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah. What do you think about all this? I mean, it's like, do you think the society has become like too...
sexual?
Too sexual, too open?
A little bit. You know, it's hard though because it's kind of cool, you know, but with the internet and everything. But at the same time, it's so perverted. Like, there's so much more child porn. You know, like all this bad stuff too, you know? So
that's true.
It's like a hard mix.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like that with everything though.
Yeah.
You know, everything's got like the good and the bad and all that stuff, you know? I mean,
we
because of the
together.
Internet, there's so much crime because of the internet and everything, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, we can't live without it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, and you know, and then you get someone like Susie, you know, who will talk about anything, you know, and he'll do anything.
What?
Someone will be going to heaven soon, right?
Yeah. Hopefully.
So was Michael irritated that we called yesterday?
Oh no, I thought it was hysterical.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, we called a good friend back east too, because I was curious because he's a very good friend of hers.
Uh-huh.
I was curious what he was thinking about her leaving like this.
Oh yeah,
you know? So we called him. Was he in the middle of something, a meeting or something?
He just schmoozes with people at his restaurant all day.
Really?
But I thought that was funny how he said, I didn't remember getting stuck and collapsing in the elevator and getting swept out back onto the street. Like on the revolving door.
Oh, my God.
I was a little drunk.
Yeah, she...
Yeah, a little.
Yeah, she's got some stories from being drunk. God knows.
But that was too funny. But yeah, so then after I called him after the show, and he's buying like two cars, and one of them's here in California. It's like this 57 Lincoln Continental. It's like absolutely gorgeous.
Wow.
that is being sold on eBay for like $100,000. And then this other one, which is so cool. It's like this pink Cadillac. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh my God, that's the coolest thing ever. And it's just gorgeous. And he's like, which one? I was like, I think you should get them both.
Really?
Wow. He's like, I think I will.
Yeah, for him, it's just pocket change there.
Exactly.
Wow, not a big life deal. Is rough.
Yeah. Well, she knows them, man. Let me tell you. Wow.
The power of who?
The yeah, power yeah, of who? You see? There you go. You know some people in high places.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Even though... Oh, yes. Who did we say? Ted Kennedy?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You've met him, right?
Yep. Wow. He's one of Michael's very good friends.
I saw him on TV yesterday. He actually lost some weight because he's sick now.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's really sad.
He had like a stroke or something, right?
During Obama's inauguration day.
Right, yeah, that's right. Was that a stroke?
It was a seizure.
It was a seizure, right?
And then...
Because he's got the brain cancer, right?
Yeah, brain tumor.
Oh, yeah, brain cancer. That's right. That's what it is. Yeah, brain cancer.
So scary.
I know, yeah. So sad. But he's so old. I mean, he's been... Yeah, he's really been... Yeah, and he's got some, you know, karma that's gonna... hate to say it, but it's gotta come around, you know? So...
Yeah, but you know what? Everybody's gotta go somehow, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just the thing. It's like, you know, that's why... You know, I smoke cigarettes. People go, oh, you'll get lung cancer. I'm like, okay, so let's say I don't smoke and I don't get lung cancer. I'll get something else, right?
That's
true. It's a pathetic excuse, but but I'm just saying that you know, you can't cheat death, you know, I mean, yeah, look at this guy that used to be like a runner, right? Wrote books, everything, this, that, collapsed one day while he was running, while he was jogging.
That's true.
You know, so you never know.
And Michael Phelps takes bong hits.
No, he takes bong hits.
What a dumbass.
Isn't that interesting?
What a total dumbass.
It just shows you that people are normal, you know. Yeah. I mean, everybody's normal. They got their own problems and stuff. It doesn't matter that he's good at swimming, you know.
Right.
It's just one part of his life.
Yeah.
You know, ask Susie.
I think it's great that he took a bong hit.
Yeah, but it's like in this day and age where you got Facebook and all this stuff where people are taking pictures.
Imagine his lung capacity.
Just do it in the closet, you know?
Oh, is that how they found out? They posted pictures of him?
Someone took a picture of him, like a camera phone at a party when he was taking a bong hit.
Really?
See, that's dumb, you know?
It's very dumb.
Yeah, it's very dumb.
But you know, maybe he was high and he didn't realize that he was on camera.
He obviously doesn't realize who his friends are.
Yes,
the power of
Lee. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's sad that people are going to capitalize on trying to.
Yeah, but they do that all the time. You know, they don't have a problem with that.
Mm.
You know,
people can be shitty.
Yeah,
yeah.
Take that bong hit, Michael. I'm all for it.
Just don't get caught. Yeah. You know,
I wouldn't want to be the one behind him having to repack the bowl.
Yeah,
you know, because he would totally just like suck it all down. You're like shit.
But he's got the money for it, you know, to keep buying. So.
Yeah.
True.
There you go.
So, Hannah, do you have a website, a blog, anything that you do?
I do. Actually, I have a MySpace page, and I actually put some new pictures up there. So, yeah, check it out.
Give it out.
It's www.myspace.com/Pocahana1. That's PocahanaOne.
No, Pocahana one.
Oh, I like that.
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, because when the movie Pocahontas came out, people would literally stop me and be like, oh my God, you look like Pocahontas.
Really?
And I'm like, I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult.
Be like, she's an
Yeah, and so, like even now, like some moms will come up, oh my God, my daughter has a Pocahontas doll and you look just like
her.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really weird.
You should capitalize on that then. Do commercials with Pocahontas.
You could be the Pocahontas lookalike in
Vegas.
That's
right.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you, Sam and Susie.
It's been a lot of fun. You're a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And sorry we shocked you a few times here and there.
That's all right. I'm used to it.
You always need to know what you're getting into. All right, Susie, and what are the plans for you?
I actually have to go work 12 hours.
12 hours.
Yes, with my little kids.
But for her, it's not really work. She drinks, she takes care of them, and everything's fine.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've got a 7-month-old and an almost 3-year-old that I'm going to be with all day and all night.
Wow.
And she performs best when she drinks. So, you know.
Whatever.
Yeah, for her, wine is like energy.
All right.
The energy drink.
Yes, it's my Red Bull.
All right. Susie, okay, so we'll see you here.
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow, you're going to be here and everything?
Yes, unless it's really cold again, at which point I might stay in bed.
Okay.
That was just awful this morning.
Yeah, it is really cold, you know, and we still complain. I mean, back east, it's freezing. I mean,
it's actually about the same temperature back east as it is here.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, in that case, let's go to the beach. See you tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.